Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our service this morning. It's good to see everyone here at Blairland Baptist Church today. Just a little more information. You did such a good job at the welcome song last week. We're going to do it again this week. So when we get to the third verse of this opening song, I'll welcome you again and ask everyone just to mingle around and shake hands and greet the visitors and everyone else that's here this morning. So it's good to see everyone here today. Let's stand as we sing Worthy of Worship. If you join in with us, please.
Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the glad songs we can sing, worthy of all of the offerings we bring. You are worthy. Sustainer, you are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise, worthy of reverence, worthy of fear, worthy of love and devotion. You are worthy, Father, Creator. You are worthy, Savior, Sustainer. You are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise.
Again, welcome to our service this morning. Good to see everyone. So greet each other as we sing the last verse.
Almighty Father, Master and Lord, King of all kings and Redeemer, wonderful Counselor,
you may be seated.
Well, good morning and welcome to Blairland. We're glad you're here today. We're happy to see you. I'm glad that you came to worship the Lord with us today. So we welcome you. This week is a big week in the life of our church. It's the Vacation Bible School, so we look forward to this week and what God is going to do. I appreciate your attendance today. I really do. It means a lot. And you being here and praying and being here to worship God, it's just makes me happy to see you here today. We appreciate all that you do. I'll be continuing today in a series that we've been in the life of Peter. And we'll be talking about that from John chapter 6 this morning. So may we pray together. Lord, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for this time that you've given us to be together to worship you. And Lord, today we want to honor you in what we do. And I ask today that we'd open our hearts to you and to your will for our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. And as just as he mentioned, we will have Bible school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. That'll be right here in the MAC. So we'll have our Blacklight puppet team set up here on the stage, so things will look a little bit different when you come in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So we're going to continue with our song service this morning to a very familiar hymn, Stand on the Promises and I Am Resolved. So if you're joining with us as we sing this morning.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. That cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, He is the just one, He hath the words of life. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved. resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. He, what He saith, do what He willeth, He is the living way. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free.
Thank you, two great hymns that talks about standing on the Word of God and how He's faithful and true each day. We're going to continue with that theme, and there's one true God, and that is Jesus Christ, and that is the God of heaven. So we're going to sing about that this morning. If you're able to stand with us, stand as we sing this song, and then we'll let you be seated on the second one. Join in with us as we sing One True God.
Voice in the dark, a song that lights up the stars. One bread that gives life, one sovereign in power, who speaks with thunder and fire. One Lord, one King, there is no can compare to you, Lord, the one alone in greatness, the one who never changes. Jesus, you are the one who rose in power, the one who reigns forever. Jesus, the one true God. One man on the cross, one light of the world, one name, one word, one way to be saved, one slain, one love above all. There is no other that can compare to you. You are the one alone in greatness, the one who never changes. Jesus, you are the one who rose in power, the one who reigns forever. Jesus, the one true God, you're the one true God. And we have seen the glory of the one and only Son of God. Yes, we have seen the glory of the one and only Son of God. And we have seen the glory of the one and only Son of God. Yes, we have seen the glory of changes. Jesus, you are the one alone in greatness, the one who never changes. Jesus, you are the one who rose in power, the one who reigns forever. Thank you.
Seated. The evidence proves that He is the one true God, and we're going to sing about that this morning as well. The song is Evidence.
All throughout my history, Your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms make way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of Your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see Your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory.
In Your word, how You stand on Your promises, as we're saying about how You've been faithful, and You are the one true God. We thank You for the faith we have in You. Thank You for the confidence in knowing that You're in control of all things. We ask that You lead, guide, and direct us through this service. Open our hearts to receive Your word today in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, thank you, worship team, for the music today and congregation. I thank you all for being here. And You know, as we do what we do on Sunday, we have a lot of people who help us do what we do. You know, you see us up here and then back in the sound room with the video, sound people, nursery, children's church over in another building, and then all our Sunday school teachers and ushers and greeters and everything else. So it takes a lot to do it, and thank you for what you do. I do want to welcome those who are watching today by Facebook and also YouTube, and those who listen by way of radio. And this is just a reminder that if we can help you in your spiritual walk, we want you to contact us and let us know. We'll be glad to get back with you. We have a web page here and all the contact information there, so we can get back with you pretty quick on that. Nowhere else to go, John 6. Again, this is a story taken from the life of Peter. And as we've gone through the life of Peter, we come to another chapter in his life. I think this is a high point in Peter's life right here. This is probably one of the greatest moments in his life in what we're going to be talking about here today. Listen to verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I'd heard about this monastery in Portugal, and I thought this week I had some time in my study. I thought, well, I'll read a little bit about that. And so I started reading about it. And this monastery is located on a cliff that's 300 feet high. And the only way that you can get to the monastery is to hop in a basket at the bottom. And up at the top, there's some strong men who pull you up by rope while you're inside that basket. Now, this is 300 feet high. Well, as I started reading about this monastery, there's an American tourist. The story's told about an American tourist who wanted to go up in that basket. And so he got in the basket and started going up, and a guide was with him in the basket. So they always have a guide in the basket there. And this American tourist started looking at that rope. And he noticed it was old and frail. And so he asked the guide, he said, "How often do you change the rope?" He said, "Only when it breaks is when we change it." Now that's a funny story, but it's making a point that I'm going to try to make here today. What rope are you holding on to? What is the rope of your salvation? What is the rope of your hope? What is the rope that you hold on to that gets you through the tough times in life? Well, Peter here asked the question that every heart needs to ask and answer. And the Lord was speaking to Peter. Add to the other disciples, because many people at this point had turned away from Jesus. And so he asked those disciples and Peter, "Where are you going to go?" And Peter said, "Lord, nowhere, because there is nowhere else to go. There's no other rope to hold on to. There's no other security for our salvation. There's no other place to go that gets us through the tough times in life. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is our salvation. And Jesus is the hope. So to whom will you go?" The message of our day, seemingly in our culture today, is that every opinion is valid. Now, opinions are important. But when it comes to what we're talking about here today, it's not every other opinion. It's what Jesus said. And it's the gospel that we see here. John 6, Jesus offered another choice. to all the opinions and choices that we find in our culture today. And what he offered was eternal life. And he offered himself as the only way to have eternal life. Peter and the other disciples had to make a commitment here. There'd be no middle ground with what's going on here. So Jesus Christ forced a moment of decision upon them. They rejected the crowd that day, rejected the word that Jesus shared with them. There were some who believed, but when we receive the word and we believe the word, then we receive Jesus as our Savior, then we have salvation. But yet those who rejected it, they walked away from what he offered. Can you imagine the pain that Jesus felt? The hurt that Jesus felt when those people walked away from him? Rejection is never a good thing. We always feel pain and when we're rejected and people walk away and things like that. And Jesus was no different. Now, he was God, but Jesus was human also. And I'm sure that it broke his heart. Many years, over 500 years before this event ever took place in the life of Jesus here, where many rejected him and walked away. Listen to what Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Now you would wonder, or the question I guess we would have is, how could they have rejected one that loved them? How could they have rejected the one who came to die for them? Why would they walk away? They rejected the truth. They rejected the condition of eternal life that Jesus presented to them. That's why Peter said, Lord, there's nowhere else to go. There's no place else to turn. There's no other person that we can look to for the salvation that we need. So Jesus felt that pain. He felt the grief. But like I said, Peter asked the question here that we all need to ask. Lord, to whom shall we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe in you. So we turn to Christ. We look to Christ. And we believe in him. So our hearts cannot be divided on this matter. See, that's what Jesus is doing here. He's forcing these people to make a decision. There's no middle ground. Either you believe in him or you don't believe in him. Either you receive him or you reject him. And that's it. There's no other choice here that we see. So from this story, though, what I want to deduce this morning from Peter, from his question, are three characteristics of what truth really is. In 1970, Nancy and I had our first date, official date. We'd talked on the telephone, saw each other at school, but as far as date, that was the first one. We were still in school at that time, high school. In May 1970, we took our first date. You know where we went? We went to Neyland Stadium to the Billy Graham Crusade. Well, that was in 1972. In 1972, in the Southern Baptist Convention that year, we had 2,500 baptisms. That was at the peak of baptisms for the Southern Baptist Convention. Last year in 2021, we had 154,701. That is a decrease from the peak of evangelism, salvation, baptism, and Southern Baptist Convention to 2021, from some 72 to 2021, you have a decrease, and the decline was steady, slow, of some 65%. What is going on? All the church growth experts give different ideas about what's happened to evangelism in America today. Why, you know, we don't see the numbers that we used to see in baptism and things like that. But they started questioning people. And they started doing all these polls, and they started doing all this research about, you know, why such a drastic decline. They gave several reasons for it that I'm not going to go into, but here's the one that really amazed me. They said the reason for the drastic decline, or one of the reasons, is this: that many people who are church members do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You see, if we don't believe that, that kills our motivation for evangelism. That kills our motivation for witnessing and talking to people about Jesus Christ. And it's hard to take that stand today. I understand that. Because we live in a culture today that's very pluralistic. And we live in that culture that thinks, you know, every idea is okay and all truth goes and everything like that. And whatever way I choose that's right for me, then that's the way to go. But Jesus makes it clear here, there's only one way. And He is the way to salvation. And there is no other place that we can go. Now, what truth is, one of the characteristics of truth that I want to talk about now is this. Here's what we see from this, is that truth is consistent. You see, Jesus' teaching was so unique and so different that it does stand alone. There's widespread assumption in America today that all religions in the world are equally the same. And that's not true. There is a difference. When it comes to Christianity and to the religions of the world, there is a difference. They're not the same. And so truth is always consistent with itself. You see, what truth says is this, and the reason it's consistent: if truth is truth, then something else is wrong. If Jesus was right in what He said, that He's the only way to heaven, then there is no other truth. There's no other way to heaven. And so what people reject, though, and really there's a hostile rejection against the gospel because of this hard truth that we're talking about today. And this is the hard truth that Jesus presented. And when Jesus presented the hard truth that there's no other place to go, there's no other way to salvation, then people walked away from that. And I really think what offended them most was this: that you had a lot of people in that day that were caught up into a religion that had taught them that they didn't, you know, they could get to God on their own. That they could be good enough. Or that they could do enough good works that they could be reconciled with God and have a relationship with Him. And Jesus said, no, that's not right. The only way to the Father is through me. The only way to be reconciled to God and have salvation and have forgiveness of sin is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what he's doing here. So He draws us to Himself through the power of the Holy Spirit, and He wants us to believe in Him. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And that's what Peter affirmed. He said, Lord, we have come to believe this. We have come to believe that You are the Son of God, that You are the Holy Son of God, that You are the Holy One, that You are perfect, that You are holy, that You are totally reliable. So truth is consistent. Another characteristic about truth is that it's universal. Peter knew that the truth that he confessed here was rooted in the very nature and character of God. He also knew this, that it wasn't the subject of what personal opinion was. He didn't care what other people thought about Jesus. It wasn't the opinion of others that convinced him to follow Jesus Christ. But truth is universal. Eternal truth is precious. It is eternal. Now, what was the truth that Jesus spoke? Well, John 14:6. Here's what Jesus said. I am the way, not a way, not another way. I am the way, the truth, not a truth, not another truth. The truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. What offended people is what Jesus said right there. Because what Jesus is saying is this: there's no other avenue to God rather than through me, is the truth that Jesus was speaking there. In Acts 4:12, Peter and John were preaching. They were preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they were preaching to people that He was the Son of God, that He came and He died on the cross for our sins. And it made a lot of people mad and upset. So they arrested Peter and John. And so when they were talking to Peter, here's what Peter said in Acts 4:12. They said, quit preaching about Jesus. And here's what he said: there is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is exclusive. It's only found in the name and the person of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other name. And like Peter said, Lord, there's nowhere else to go. There's no other place to turn to for our salvation. You know, in mathematics, there's universal truth in mathematics. 2 + 2 = 4. And that's universal. When it comes to spiritual truth, when it comes to the truth of the Bible, the truth that Jesus spoke, it is also universal. It works in any culture. It is the same. It is the same for people here in America as it is for people in Israel, for people in Europe, for people in Russia. It is the same. Truth does not change. The message of the gospel does not change with the culture. See, that's the challenge we have in America today. People want to change the truth of the gospel to fit the culture. And that's not what we're about. And that's not what Jesus was about. The culture, our opinions, our ideas of culture will not change the truth, no matter what. John 17:3, listen to this truth. This is a universal truth that Jesus spoke. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, Peter made this commitment to Christ when popular opinion was turning against Jesus. From this point on in the life of Jesus until his death on the cross, he had a lot of hostility. And he had a lot of rejection against his ministry and what he was about. But see, the opinion of people, and no matter what the opinion of the majority was, did not change the truth. It did not change what Jesus taught, what he preached. It did not change what the disciples believed. It stayed the same. There's another characteristic about truth that is rooted in evidence. You know, many people today doubt that truth can really be discovered. There's a lot of people today who do not believe in absolute truth. They reject any idea of that. But the question now is, how do we know? How do we know that Jesus told the truth? How do we know that Jesus is on the way to heaven? How do we know that he was the Son of God? Well, Peter's understanding of Christ was given to him by the Holy Spirit, because here's what he says: we have come to know. We have come to know you, Lord. We have come to know that you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Holy Spirit made that reality of possibility in his life. How do we know? We know it through the Spirit. We know that the Spirit speaks the truth. And the Spirit bears witness with us. And so that's where this convincing of who Christ is comes from. But we accept Christ by faith, but it's also supported by evidence. It's not a step in the dark. It's not a leap in the dark. It's not blind faith, but it's the evidence. So how do we know that it's Christ? Why Christ? What makes him unique? What makes him different? How can he say that he is the only way that our sins can be forgiven through his atonement on the cross, and that the only way that we can be reconciled with God is through what he did on the cross for us? How do we know that's true? Well, three reasons. Because of what he did. Think about the miracles that Jesus performed. He attended a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and what did he do? He turned the water into wine. There was a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and what did Jesus do? Jesus calmed the storm, and he controlled nature. He healed the cripple. He gave sight to the blind. He took five loaves and two fish in John chapter 6, and he fed the multitude with it. He was resurrected from the dead. And so that's how we know, because of what he did. But another reason is because of what he taught. Now here's the dividing line. Jesus taught that he was the only way to heaven. Jesus taught that only through him can we have forgiveness of sin. Jesus taught that he was the only way to eternal life. And so the death of Christ on the cross is what saves us. And that's why he came. And then the third reason, because of who he claimed to be. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now let me bring this to a conclusion. If you feel in your heart today that you need Christ, and that you've never made that decision, then receive him. You see, when it comes to Jesus Christ, there's no middle ground. Either we receive him or reject him. And if you've never received him, if you've never received the gospel, if you've never put faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you feel that spiritual longing in your heart that you want Jesus, then ask him to come into your life today. Ask him to give you that new birth, that new life. And if you do that, he'll do that. As believers today, many of us here are believers, and we believe in Jesus, and we've committed our life to him. Then I just want to remind you of this. Where do you turn? There's nowhere else to turn but to Jesus. I found this verse in Nahum that I want to leave with you. And as a believer, when you go through the hard times and difficult times of life, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. You have salvation. You have all that. But think about this verse. Here's the rope you're holding on to. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. He's our rope. He knows those who trust in him. Amen? He's our rope, folks. He's our stronghold in a day of trouble. There is nowhere else that we can go. So Peter's question comes back to us. To whom will you go? Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's stand for our time of prayer. Father, we thank you for the truth of the gospel. And Lord, we thank you that you came to make a way for us, that we can go to where you are. Father, today I pray for those who have that spiritual longing in their heart. They've never come to that place of receiving you as Savior. Father, I pray that they would make that decision today. I pray that they would open their heart and life to you. We talk about being saved. That's what that is. It's trusting in you. It's believing in you. It's believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's putting faith in you and your word and your truth. Your words are true. And those words give us the power of eternal life. Father, as believers here today, help us to know that there's no other place to turn. Because you are our stronghold. You are a hope. You're a very present help in a time of trouble. And Lord, we trust you and put our faith in you. And help us, Lord, to live by faith and to walk in this life, trusting you completely and totally. Because your truth does not change. Your truth is consistent. It is universal. And it is rooted in the evidence of what you did, what you taught, and who you claim to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Well, thank you for being here today. And, you know, the burden on my heart, and I know your heart too, is, you know, we want to see people saved. We really do. We want to see them come to Christ. But if we don't have the conviction that Jesus is the only way, and we don't have the conviction of the gospel, that the gospel is true, then we're not going to be motivated to tell others about Jesus Christ and the gospel. And see, that's what he wants us to do as believers. We're to preach the gospel, share the gospel. We're to be his witnesses. But it comes back to this core conviction that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So let's, you know, let's be serious about that and get to work on that. Appreciate you being here today. And praise team will come now and dismiss us in our closing course. So go this week in God's grace and in his love. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. We'll close with a course of Learning to Lean.
Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Thank you. You're dismissed.